The Old Testament lesson is from Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 12. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev, and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth-Peor. But no one knows the place of his birth, burial, to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants, and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who is faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The good news according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory, and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's pretty beautiful up here today, right? We've got the white pyramids out. They're looking real nice. We've still got the beautiful lights going and the Lamb of God over there. It's pretty wonderful looking in here. It's pretty nice. Thank you for all those who continue to decorate and make our sanctuary look great. This Transfiguration Sunday, we remember when Christ shone with the glory of God, when his face became dazzling white. We picture all of the times where God is called or is described as being light. We remember the time when Moses was up on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, and all the people down below saw this massive cloud and thunder and lightning, and they thought, well, surely Moses is dead up there, so we'll just move on without him. But of course, he comes down shining with the light of God from having seen God face to face. God being light and shining in his glory. That'd be a miraculous and brilliant sight to see. We've done our best here with the decoration here on in the chancel. We can't quite match God's glory, but it is beautiful. The white, the light shining as Christ did. Now, as wonderful as it would be to stay that way, to keep these beautiful white decorations up here, shining in God's glory, we don't get to stay here. We have this Wednesday coming, which is Ash Wednesday, leading us through the season of Lent, and things are going to look a little different. In fact, that's actually what Jesus is talking about, what God is talking about, what Luke writes about today on Transfiguration Sunday. We read that Jesus takes his three closest apostles with him up to this mountain. We've got Peter, John, and James off on a little excursion with Jesus. And these three, they get pulled into these wonderful opportunities. And yet, they often end up in a situation like today. Something amazing is happening, and we read that they're sleeping. They're heavy with sleep, in fact, in verse 32, taking a little bit of a nap. Of course, as they're napping, we've got Jesus shining with his full glory, speaking to Moses and Elijah. That's a pretty unfortunate thing to miss out on. To see Jesus, not just as the man who they've been following, the one who teaches and preaches with great authority, who they've already called the Son of God, this one who they know is special and in fact is their Savior, and they've not yet seen this. They've seen the man, but not God shining in glory. Now, as they do wake up, as the men are parting from him, so perhaps Moses and Elijah, they're done having this chat with Jesus there, talking about, it says, his departure into Jerusalem. We'll come back to that. And as they're leaving, Peter wakes up, and the three of them all do, and he jumps to say something really quick. Moses and Elijah are starting to leave. He sees Jesus shining in glory. He says, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. What else are you going to say? Moses and Elijah are about to leave. Jesus is shining in glory. And Peter, let's not leave. Let's stay just like this. Let's stay here. This is amazing. Of course, Luke does a great job of giving us in this account, Peter said this not knowing what he said. Poor Peter. But he didn't want to see it change. He didn't want to see it go away. To see the glory of God. And two men who, they didn't have cameras. Any of the depictions, maybe, of Moses and Elijah probably weren't very accurate. And yet, he sees them and knows who they are somehow. We've got these two great men of the Old Testament. One who saw God face to face and was there to give his law and lead the people through the desert towards the promised land. and Elijah, who didn't see death but was taken up in a chariot of fire to be with God. And those two are completely trumped by Jesus standing there in his full glory. I would want to stay there too. Let's make some tents. We'll have a little camp out. We'll stick around here for a few days. I don't want to go on and be away from this. But Peter didn't know what he said. Sure enough, a great cloud, much like on Mount Sinai, comes and envelops them, and they're afraid. And they hear a voice, the voice of the Father, saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And just like that, the cloud fades, the voice is gone, and Jesus stands before them as they had seen him before. That mountaintop experience has gone. Peter didn't even get a chance to make the tents. What a great opportunity, though. What a great and wonderful thing for these three men to see, as they would later go into the world and tell others that Jesus truly is God, having learned from him and heard him speaking the words of God as the Word of God, and also seeing his full glory. We get to hear about this experience, this mountaintop experience. And we get to see that while we would also want to stay with there, while we would also want to be basking in the light of Jesus' glory, that's not why he came. We don't stay with that glory, but rather we follow Jesus as he goes to the cross, that departure into Jerusalem. Jesus didn't come just to show off that he is God. "Listen to me, see? Aww." And light shines out. This is why I'm not in the choir. Jesus didn't come just to show that he was God and to teach us what we were doing wrong. He came to save us from our sins when he died on the cross. There's these two different theologies or studies and ideas. The theology of the cross and the theology of glory. This is an old debate as it goes back in the church for years and years and years. But in the Reformation era, it really came to the forefront again. You see, we look at Jesus and we look at our lives as Christians, and a lot of people would love to have a theology of glory, that you are one of God's children. Therefore, in glory, things are perfect for you here on earth. If you pray hard enough, if you follow God's laws rightly, if you listen to him, as the voice said, well, then everything's going to be glorious for you here on earth. Everything will be just right if you just, you know, don't sin. Make sure you do all the good things. Walk people across the street. Tithe more than 10%. Follow all of God's laws perfectly, like you do every day, of course. And then things will be right for you. Listen to all the people who tell you the right things to do on Instagram. If you work out this way, you'll shed 50 pounds immediately. It'll be great. Eat this and you'll be healthy. Cures heart troubles. All of those different things that we would want to do to have a perfect, glorious life now. We like to perhaps hear and even think that by following God, our life will be glorious on earth. But that's not what Jesus calls us to. That's not what he says will happen. This life, even when we follow God, even when we are dedicating our lives and saying, "I really want to follow your will, Lord. Create in me a clean heart. Help me to follow you. Give me your Holy Spirit. Sanctify me. Make me holy." These are all great prayers. It's all a great desire of ours to do those things and to follow God. But we know that this theology of glory just isn't true. The whole phrase, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" It's a true phrase. Bad things do happen to good people, just as they do to bad people, like me. I know I'm not a good person. I know that I try to be. I do pray, create in me a clean heart. But I know that I won't be perfect this side of heaven, just like I know you won't be either. Try as we may, pray as hard as we do, difficulties still come. We still live in a fallen world. There are still consequences to our sins and to the sins of others, and bad things do happen. Not everything is a mountaintop experience. Now that is partnered then with, or as the opposite idea to, the theology of the cross. The idea that in humble obedience, Christ himself followed the will of the Father, not experiencing everything glorious and perfect on earth, but suffering, going through persecution, being put down by family members and friends and countrymen, being beaten, having everything stripped away from him, suffering even to the point of feeling extreme sorrow and saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Crying out in lament and pain and torment. And yet the Bible tells us that in doing this, in that theology of the cross, not focusing on making himself to be known at the same level as the Father, when Christ was obedient to death, even death on a cross, in that he was glorified. In that you were saved and you are glorified. The theology of the cross says that we follow the Father's will. We follow God's will. We pick up our cross and we follow Jesus who's done it before us. We don't just get to stay in the glorious times. We don't just get to put up a tent and stay where everything is safe and wonderful. We know that as we continue in our lives, troubles will come. Troubles from without and within. And yet we take up our cross and we follow Jesus. We listen to him. Daily we wake up and we say, God, use me for your will. Knowing that we will actively at different times be working against it. And as we do follow Jesus, as we do live a life that is in gratitude, saying thank you to God for what he's done, that he will use us in great ways. That as we do bear our cross, we will be a blessing to others. Not because of our goodness, but because he does it through us. We don't know why bad things happen to good people, or even people like us. But we do know that God can even use those things, both to strengthen ourselves and to be a blessing to others. I can picture countless times where I've seen someone go through something far more difficult than I would ever hope anyone else would, and to see their faith borne out, to say, I trust in Jesus. It's going to be okay. To hear, I'm ready to go home, from those who are suffering, rather than to hear, I'm afraid, I'm scared, I don't know. To hear, well, I am ready to go home, but God isn't calling me yet, which I hear a lot more than you might imagine. Waiting on God's timing, waiting for God to say, to welcome us home and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Waiting on God, walking through this life, both in the good and the bad, we continue to leave our trust in Jesus Christ alone, who in the theology of the cross took on sin, death, and the devil, that you and I might be glorified, that we would be made holy. And as we continue to run this race, as we continue to live out looking for more opportunities to see God's glory, We do love the idea of staying there in those good times, knowing that dark times will still come. Soon, very soon, in fact, in just 2 days, all of our decorations here in the chancel are going to change. The paramount colors will change. We won't have these same lights. The cross will be a crucifix with Christ on it. On the entrance into the sanctuary, it'll look different. I'll point it out on Wednesday. All of this changes to help us see that we're entering a different season of the church year, to experience different things that God's Word has to offer, to remind us that, while yes, God is glorious, He has come to us sinners that we might be saved. Jesus did die for us. As much as we'd love to stay with these decorations and just preach all the good things, Jesus shining in glory, Jesus doing miracles, Jesus doing amazing and wonderful things and speaking all the things we want to hear, there's more to the Bible than that, and there's more to life than that. We get to hear in these coming weeks how great it is that Jesus died for us. At the end of Lent, we get Good Friday, a day that we call good, not because it's a great thing that Jesus died, seems kind of counterintuitive, but it is very good for you and for me that He did. We can't just stay at Transfiguration Day. That's why Peter says, we're told, said this not knowing what he said. How good it is that Jesus did follow the Father's will, that He showed how much He loves you and me, that He shows us that daily we can pick up our cross and follow Him, and we look forward to the day when, having completed our race, He will take us to heaven with Him. Because this body is indeed made of dust, and to dust it will return. And yet, you will be glorified in heaven. You will be called there body and soul. And you will live through all eternity with the glory that God has shown at different times and will show to you in heaven. Happy Transfiguration Sunday. Enjoy the glory and the bright colors. The darkness in church is coming, but the truth of Christ's sacrifice remains. The glory that you have as God's child is yours through all of Lent and through all of eternity. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. May God bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you His peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.